You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
Welcome aboard Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. Eastern Iowa's home for sports. Glad to have you aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here on the Gym Class program. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Isaac Gall with you here today. Got a good show coming up for you. Back half of the program, Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette will join us. We will talk about the two hockey playoffs going on. One underway last night, Cedar Rapids losing in the first round of the first game of the USHL playoffs, 2-1 last night, and we will talk about that best of three. We'll talk about the Heartlanders. We'll talk a little Iowa Hawkeye baseball. We'll talk a little Cedar Rapids Colonels baseball as well with Jeff Johnson. That'll be coming up toward the back half of the program here today. And get to the news of the day as well with you coming up here as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. 319-366-1600. That is the text line. That's the phone line as well. 319-366-1600. Love to interact with our listeners. I do appreciate you tuning in on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. And as always, if you miss any of our local shows, our program, Spencer on Sports, the Todd Brommelkamp Show in the morning, you can go back and listen to the podcasts. They're available at KGYMradio.com, Apple, or Spotify. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Isaac and everyone. And one of those days, once again, put a little extra gel in your hair when you go outside.
I read a tweet from you can't call him an ex. It's still a tweet from a meteorologist. And they had a table that showed that this has been, so far, the windiest spring. Now, I have no idea how you come up with that sort of, metrics, but they had a big chart, and it showed.
That's what they do.
I know. I guess that's what they do. And it showed that this has been the windiest spring on record. So there you go. And we got another one out there today.
May the wind be at your back.
That is why I did not go out and work on the game today, which I need to do desperately in the next couple weeks, because the driving range would be right into the wind. And as you and other fellow golfers know, Mark, you don't go practice on windy days, and B, you don't hit it into the wind because it just doesn't give you the results you need.
However, when you play in a tournament next month, maybe you'll have this kind of wind. Remember when Zach Johnson was on the program? He's talking about his practices.
Yeah.
He practices in the rain. He practices in the wind. You never know, Scott.
Well, when I'm hitting the ball well, I'll practice in the wind.
When you tie for eighth in the Masters.
I'll hit it into the wind. 319-366-1600. Need I remind you, today is tax day. Happy April 15th, or unhappy April 15th, however you view it. So if you suddenly have a pit in your stomach that you may have forgotten something, you still have a little bit of time. I'm done.
Long since taken care of, but a nice reminder for people, Scott.
I like to remind people of those little things. Isaac, are your taxes in?
Yes, they are. Good. They've been in for a little bit while. So
good for you as a youngster.
Don't have a whole lot filling out. I guess I do have some like college stuff that applies with grant money and student loan stuff.
How many of those athletes out there to have their taxes in?
I know the University of Iowa, there's a day, I think it's at the IMU, where you can just go with some tax professionals and they'll fill them out for you, much.
That's pretty much
it. They say they'll help you, but they'll pretty much do it for
you. Another perk for an athlete?
Well, it's actually open to all students. It's not just for athletes, it's for every student.
I didn't mean to jump to conclusions.
No, you're good. I get what you're saying.
Don't jump to conclusions, Mark. And I'm sure the Nico and the rest of the gang out there that are making, seven figures probably have people that remind other people to take care of their taxes for them. That's just my thought.
They better.
Somebody better have it taken care of. So there you go. April 15th. 319-366-1600. Last night, let's start off the program, and it's the WNBA and the WNBA draft held last night, and as expected, Paige Bueckers, the number one pick of the WNBA draft. Not a big shocker right there. There's always got to be some, you know, two or three storylines coming out of the WNBA, whether more often when it's off the court than on the court. But last night, and I admit I did not watch more than 30 seconds of the WNBA draft, but I did get updates on the various sports apps that are on my phone. And of course, Haley Van Lith selected last night in the WNBA draft. And I said, oh, okay, Haley Van Lith selected. I wonder who took her. Ooh. That would be the Chicago Sky. And then the memes came out and all the stories came out. And I got to tell you, as good as I felt for Rory McIlroy on Sunday night, I felt as bad for Haley Van Lith last night, because you could just tell in her interview with Holly Rowe that she was trying to paste a smile on as well as she could, knowing that her life just got incredibly more complicated. She thought she was gone. She thought she was away from Angel Reese. And here they are together once again, like the Odd Couple. Like Felix Unger.
Well, she tried to paint a nice picture with her words, being diplomatic about it. But I don't know. There's a reason Van Lith left LSU. Whether it was Reese or Mulkey or other reasons, I'm not entirely sure. But did go to TCU and did get drafted, kind of rehabilitated their game, and ended up being the 11th pick. And who does the Sky open with? I believe it's the Indiana Fever and Caitlin Clark.
Isaac is agreeing, right? Mm-hmm. Indiana and Chicago?
Yep, that's the one of the two games that they have on opening day.
Because, as we know, it's an interesting league. A lot of venom, a lot of jealousy, and there is no league like it. Like the WNBA.
It starts on the red carpet, the orange carpet. I'm not sure what color of carpet the WNBA has, but it started yesterday afternoon, what these gals were wearing, and people commenting, jumping to conclusions about this or that outfit and how much it costs and on and on. And
we should do that for the NFL draft then, shouldn't we?
I think they probably do.
Thursday? Oh, yeah, there's comments about the suit selections by the number one draft choices. Mm-hmm. The ones that are there on hand in Green Bay this year, and they will be scrutinized once again, but maybe not as scrutinized as the WNBA players. I mean, Paige Bueckers was scrutinized. Everybody was scrutinized. The WNBA, it should be the WNBA scrutinized league.
I don't care whether they're wearing a dress or a pantsuit. I really don't.
I agree.
Can
with
they play?
You.
Yeah.
Then they're fine.
Apparently, the Washington Mystics felt Lucy Olson can play, though.
Yeah, she had her name called last night.
Yeah.
Good for her. And when you and I talked earlier today, you kind of compared it to Kate Martin's situation last year that Lucy Olson is going to step into with the Mystics. And not assured of getting a roster spot, certainly, but the way she can score the basketball, you got to think there's a place for her in the WNBA. I guess we're going to find out sooner than later, though, right?
Yeah, I think so. Similar in that they're both second-round picks. The difference was that the Mystics are really rebuilding. They had several draft picks, and Olsen being one of them. Kate Martin went to Las Vegas, and now she's at the with the expansion team. But both were second-rounders, and from that standpoint, You know, you're not assured of making a team, but you would think Olsen has a pretty good shot.
New team debuting last night, at least having their name called. The Goldens, is it the Valkyries?
Valkyries, I think, yeah.
The maybe. Valkyries yeah. of Golden State. And, yeah, purple and gold. Or they're purple and black, I guess. Not to be confused with the LA Sparks, who are purple and gold, just like the Lakers are. Interesting name.
Hmm.
Interesting name, and there's more expansion teams coming in the next few years, but I still feel so bad for Van Lith. I mean, she's got maybe everything going for her right now, and all of a sudden,
yeah, maybe you should feel bad for Reese. I don't know. I don't know what the relationship is.
Maybe it's Haley's fault. 319-366-1600.
I think Chicago probably did their due diligence. Yeah,
I hope so.
Yeah,
I hope so with that. And yes, Matt in Fairfax reminding us as we talk about all of the fun off the court stuff in the WNBA that this is indeed Jackie Robinson Day. That is ceremoniously done every year by Major League Baseball, so you'll see everyone wearing number 42 on the field today, and in honor of Jackie Robinson. So, as Matt puts it, hope everyone can live a little more like Jackie with grace and decency today.
I'm all for that.
I am too. The great Jackie Robinson. So, only bad thing about today is that with everyone wearing number 42, it's hard to follow. Unless you really know guys on your team, it's very difficult.
You can tell Aaron Judge from Andrew Volpe, okay?
That's true. That's true.
And I can tell all the Twins because they're the ones striking out 13, 14 times in a game.
So. Are you buying the Twins are not caring right now? There are tweets out there from Twins people saying that the Twins are not really showing a lot of gumption this year.
I think that's kind of silly, and Rocco Baldelli might be on the chopping block. I don't know. I think he was manager of the year in the American League a couple years ago. He just forgot how to manage. I don't know. I know they change hitting coaches, but offensively they're just not doing the job. And I don't know. It seems to be systematic. And we'll ask Jeff Johnson because the Twins have had injuries once again, and it has filtered down to the minor leagues. The Colonels have, you know, some of their top prospects on the IL right now, and others in Double A and Triple A. It's
you got to ask yourself. I think, is there something wrong with the training methods in the organization at this point? I mean, I ask myself that with the way that the Chicago White Sox play lousy fundamental baseball.
And did Pete Rose ever pull a hammy running to first?
I never. You and I have had that discussion before. The guys from the 70s, 80s, and the 90s, and granted, they aren't nearly as big and muscular as they are now, but they never got very rarely got hurt.
They don't hit 320, 330 today either.
True.
Some do, but. I don't know. That's just crazy.
Well, I think the reason you see a lot of injuries like that in the NBA now is because there's so much space. There's so much space in the league that the players have to cover on a defensive basis that these guys are wearing their bodies out and tearing their ACLs on sort of these freak injuries aren't as freakish anymore just because they are running around a lot more. They are trying to cover more space than, I don't know, you used to. 20, 30 years ago.
I can definitely see the NBA. I just still have problems with Major League Baseball players landing on the injured list, the IL, used to be the DL.
Oblique strains.
With just running, they can't run the first with pulling something anymore. And it's just crazy. Yes, Melvin Edgem's sister was drafted last night, the former Cyclone. Thank you, Tim. Always up on his Cyclones. Even though Melvin's been gone a few years, still following the progress of former Cyclones. 319-366-1600. News coming out in the last couple hours or so as we come up on 3:21 here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Jeff Johnson joining us coming up in just a little bit. But wrestling news here in mid-April. And this coming out of Iowa City, the Iowa Hawkeye wrestling team, the men's wrestling team, we should put that moniker on it as well, are going to be going to a brand new venue next year, early in the season. For the first time, you were trying to think if this has ever happened before. I was trying to put my head around it. But the Hawks are going to go to the National Duels next year.
Yeah, I consulted with Isaac beforehand. Maybe he's come up with something. But this tournament was renewed last year. And in kind of a different form, you and I won it. But it hadn't been held since 2017. Kind of in a different form, as I said before that. And now Iowa and you and I both will be competing in November in Tulsa at the National Duels. Michigan, Ohio State, Oklahoma State, North Carolina State, all also committed to this 16-team tournament. And the twist is that you get paid. It's $200,000 to the team that wins the tournament, $150,000 for second and third, all the way down to 16th. You take home $20,000. So I think it's a great move for Iowa wrestling. I wonder if it would do so if the money wasn't involved. But I'm going to defer to our wrestling guy right now. If he's got any new news and comments. Isaac.
Iowa has participated. It looks like they won it in 2008 at least. Maybe it was held in Iowa City in 2015.
That sounds right.
I don't know.
But in a different form.
Yeah, they went to a format where it wasn't a single site, and then it was like multiple people hosted. I don't know. It was hard to really track down, but 2015 might have been the last year. I could be wrong on that. I think it's great for the sport. I think it's what wrestling needs. It will help some of these fringe programs actually get money into their programs. I know Northern Iowa also accepted an invitation today, so that's another team of note. I don't know if Iowa State would get invited. They haven't.
They're not eligible, I think.
Yeah, because they've. I can't remember. It wasn't a great year.
Yeah, it's automatic entry to the top 12 teams in the final D1 standings. So that would be Penn State, Nebraska, Okie State, Iowa, Minnesota, Ohio State, Cornell, NC State, UNI, Illinois, Virginia Tech, and Michigan. And they have to agree by April 15th, which is today.
I do wonder. It seems very unlikely that Penn State is going to accept an invitation. So I do wonder if there's going to be some by invitation, and then Iowa State is a big enough brand where they might just get invited based off of brand status as far as wrestling goes. But great for the sport. I think it would really help a program like you and I, who needs some cash in that program, just to not necessarily keep it afloat, but continue their momentum and their success. So I think I'm all for it. I think it's great way to help promote the sport. Should be a fun event.
Scott and I were talking that it doesn't really preclude involvement in the Soldier Salute, which is December, right?
I believe they moved that to the first week of January.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong on that.
Still should be able to be in that and host as well.
Yes, I would imagine so. So I think, again, I think it's awesome. And it, again, provides the opportunity for teams that are on the fringes that could do with a little extra cash. Like, obviously, I think Iowa or Okie State are probably going to win the whole thing and take the, was it $200,000?
$200,000.
Yeah, that first gets. But still, if you're a team that just gets invited and you're guaranteed $20,000, that's not nothing, especially for wrestling, which is typically non-revenue sports. That might be like the most money they make for the whole year for a lot of these smaller programs.
Where the heck is this money coming from?
It's sponsored by someone.
It's going to be in Tulsa, Oklahoma in mid-November. That's a two-day event that'll be held down in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I think the 15th and the 16th of November, if I recall what the email read. And, yeah, there's got to be a ton of sponsorship behind this. And let's face it, this is another pay-for-play example here. Now we're getting into wrestling. You're seeing it in basketball. The Champions Crown events, the Thanksgiving week events are now turning into pay-for-play. Whether you like it or not, bowls are going to be pay-for-play pretty soon.
Already were,
but they're going to be even more.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be all of them, whether it's the Bahamas Bowl or what have you, the Snoop Bowl, the Duke's Mayo Bowl. I don't know if Snoop's picking up the tab or not, but they're all going to be paying their athletes, and it's the way of the world.
Just from a scheduling standpoint, I think it's good. I think Isaac would agree, and Scott, from a scheduling standpoint, something was missing in the Iowa schedule. We've talked about scheduling you and I. Well, now they're at least going to be in the same place.
Could wrestle them.
Whether they wrestle them or not, I don't know. But this is something that the Iowa schedule needed, Isaac.
Yeah, I think Iowa sometimes lacks real tough early season contests. Obviously, you have Iowa State, and that's no slight to them, but Iowa has dominated that series for quite some time now. So there has been a need for some early season real contendership, just so you can really figure out who can contend in March in your lineup. Where do you still need to improve? How do you still need to improve as a wrestler before the Big Ten schedule hits? So, yeah, I would agree. I think there's kind of a gap there that Iowa has needed, and this will be a good way just as a measuring stick for some of the guys who are maybe younger. And you don't even have to start your full lineup. Like, if a guy is injured, you can start a freshman, use one of your eligibilities on a guy early in the year. Like, I don't know if Ludington is going to start at 197 for Iowa coming up, but maybe he wants to enter into the duels just so we can see how he stacks up against some high-level competition ahead of the dual season, or the Big Ten dual season. So I would agree it has been there is a little bit of a gap there that this fills.
The sponsorship was a good question, Scott. I don't have the answer to that.
There's got to be a ton of sponsors.
It's a million-dollar event.
One is Paycom. That's like the title sponsor. I don't know who else is sponsoring it.
This will probably... last year, Iowa went down to St. Charles for the Uncivil War. That was the Princeton and the Army meets. That's probably out, I would say, looking at the schedule. And probably a couple early season events, like last year was Oregon State and Stanford that they wrestled early in the year. You got to think those are probably on the chopping block too, at least one of them.
You'd probably get one team just to open Carver.
Right.
Before the Iowa State duel.
Yeah, I would say that would be the case. We'll see. Schedules still aren't finalized, but Iowa is going to be going to the national duels, and that's going to be, I agree with you. I think that's going to be great for the Iowa wrestling program. If UNI is there too and they happen to meet, then even the better.
Mm-hmm.
Although we'd like to see it in Cedar Falls or Iowa City instead of Tulsa, Oklahoma, but beggars can't be choosers.
If it sticks around, I'm sure it would come back to Iowa City.
Yeah.
As long as it sticks around, I don't know why it wouldn't come back to Iowa City. As long as Iowa keeps accepting the invitation, that is.
Yeah. 3:28, we're going to talk to Jeff Johnson coming up in just a little bit. Need to get it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update at this time. It's brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot, open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday with food available until 9 o'clock. They feature a bar and a huge menu of comfort food for all ages. Dine in, carry out, curbside pickup and delivery. They have it all at Emil's Hideaway.
By the way, Emil's celebrating its 12th anniversary today, Scott.
Happy anniversary to Emil's.
Absolutely. Iowa Wrestling received a legacy commitment for its 2026 class from heavyweight Michael Mocco, U-17 world champion. He is the son of Steve Mocco, who won a national title at Iowa before heading off to Oklahoma State. Linmar track star Abby Mecklenburg became the first Iowa girl in history to record a 20-foot long jump last night at the Dubuque Hempstead Invitational, and she did it twice. Her 20-foot, 8-1/4-inch effort is the best in the nation this year. The Major League Baseball slate today includes all night games. Cedar Rapidy and Mitch Keller of the Pirates is scheduled to start, coming off a 7-inning-plus shutout effort in which he had a no decision. Pittsburgh is at home to face Washington. Finally, Scott, a record 10,202 entries have been received and accepted for this year's U.S. Open Golf Tournament that will be contested in June at Oakmont in Pennsylvania. The youngest entry is Texas amateur Beck Patrick, who will turn 13 tomorrow. The oldest is former PGA player Mac O'Grady, who is 73.
And if you know anything about golf, you know about Mac O'Grady. Kind of the Bill Lee of golf.
Absolutely. I want to know more about this Beck Patrick. I mean, you got to be a scratch golfer or a professional to even enter this thing. I think a 0.4 handicap.
Yeah.
12 years old. He can play.
He can beat us. 67-14 says, I need to practice into the wind. It gives you better feedback, which is probably true, but it's too cold.
There's always an excuse not to go to the range, right?
There's always an excuse. We're going to get there very, very quickly. News, Cooper Koch is going to get his year back this year for the Iowa men's basketball team. He went into the portal. Announced he was coming back to Iowa. He had a collapsed lung this year.
Yeah.
Which, that's obviously a significant injury. So, good for the NCAA to give that year back to Cooper Koch. So, he will have 4 years remaining for Ben McCollum in Iowa.
Yeah, that was an interview Chad Leistico conducted with his dad, J.R. Koch. And Cooper will have 4 years left.
Very good. All right, we'll take a break, come back, talk some hockey, talk some baseball, and we'll do that all with Jeff Johnson of the Gazette when we return, listening to a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class right here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And there's going to be some more sunshine this afternoon with temperatures rising into the mid to upper 50s. It will still be quite breezy and the winds will then back off later tonight. With clear skies and light winds, temperatures will drop into the low 30s and there could be some areas of frost by morning. Tomorrow will be sunny. Temperatures will be climbing into the mid 60s with winds out of the south. We'll be around 70 on Thursday with a chance for showers and storms. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Okay, on the grass, but out of the street. Perfect.
Why are you raking your leaves to the curb?
It's spring leaf time, so the City of Cedar Rapids leaf vacuum will be around.
Leaves just go in your yardie cart, don't they?
You can, but this time of year, you can also rake them in a long row on the grass beside the street, and the vacuum truck will pick them all up.
I don't have time to rake right now.
That's okay. They'll be picking up through April 24th. You've got time.
How do you know all this?
I got the message from crnewsnow.com.
Sign up for CR News Now, or go to the city website for more info.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood quick star, and we got basketball action tonight. The NBA play-in tournament getting underway, and no better way to enjoy that and enjoy some terrific, terrific desserts from your neighborhood quick star, Nature's Touch Ice Cream, making moves like the starting lineup of an NBA championship team with great flavors like chocolate, vanilla, cookies and cream, mint chocolate chip, and a whole lot more. There is no such thing as a bad first round pick. So stop on by at your neighborhood quick star. Right now, Nature's Touch Ice Cream in a 1 gallon bucket, chocolate or vanilla. Limit two. It's on sale $4.99 each. And also Nature's Touch Milk, 1 gallon. Skim 1% or 2%, $2.99 and limit three. And when you stop on by, make sure to use your Quick Rewards app. All that and a whole lot more available at your neighborhood Quick Star. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Hey, hey, what do you say? The Cubs are on 1600 ESPN. We're broadcasting Chicago Cubs games all season long, proudly presented by Yonda Motor Services. Get ready to fly the W and see KGYMradio.com for scheduled games.
The sports calendar is heating up, and with ESPN Bet Sportsbook, you can go from checking news and stats to placing bets in just a couple of taps. Stream games, bet live, and get exclusive offers when you link your ESPN account. Right now, you can get $100 in bonus bets when you make your first $10 wager. Download the ESPN Bet app and sign up with promo code JOEQ to get started today. That's J-O-E-Q, JOEQ. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
Vivid Seats is your ultimate destination for basketball and hockey this season. With a game-changing rewards program and an unbeatable selection of tickets, they make it easy for every fan to watch their favorite teams and players in action. Catch every one-timer and buzzer-beating three live and in person from your favorite seat. Plus, every ticket is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee, giving you peace of mind with every purchase. Don't miss out. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN.
Back with you at 3:35 on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN. Spencer on Sports follows us from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock here this evening. Jeff Johnson set to join us, read his stuff online at the Gazette's website, and also give him a follow on X or Twitter, whichever you prefer. Joining us on a Tuesday here in Eastern Iowa, and he's about as, I don't know, are you nervous tonight, Jeff, as a fellow St. Louis Blues fan?
sort of, honestly. Yeah, I see Calgary's playing Vegas tonight, and Vegas is sitting out like five of its starters. So, you know, hey, but if, you know what, Scotty, if they don't win tonight with everything on the line, they don't deserve to get in. It's over.
Yeah. Take care of business. That's all.
Right.
You got to win, take care of business, and our Blues will be in the playoffs as a, what, number 8 seed, but hey, you got a shot.
That's right. Yeah, just get in. Just get in. That's it's a good season when you make the playoffs. So.
Yeah, certainly is. And well, with that in mind and talking hockey, our two Eastern Iowa franchises into the postseason. Last night, the Rough Riders on the road. That was a tough one, to say the very least, to kick off their series.
Yeah, played a really good game. I thought played better than Muskegon, honestly. You know, 1-1, looked like it was heading to overtime, and then there was kind of a goalie misplay behind Cedar Rapids net, and it led to Muskegon scoring with a minute and 8 seconds left, and you know, Lumberjacks survive game 1-2-1 and have a chance to end the best of three series tonight at home. All the games are at Muskegon. That's just the way it is in the first round of the playoffs, USHL wise, and then they go best of five from here with everybody getting a home game. So we'll see what the old black and green and is kind of made of tonight.
Hey, last night, kind of a microcosm of what's happened to the partially to the Rough Riders this year, right?
Yeah, they really played a ton of close games, Mark, and you know, it just for whatever reason they haven't been able to you know, put them away to win them late. And it's, you know, that's tough. You hope with a clean slate in the playoffs that might change, but unfortunately in game one it didn't, and they're facing tea times, as the old saying goes, I guess, in hockey.
What about this team? I mean, looking back on it this year, what are you going to remember about this group?
Bunch of good kids. A club that you know, took a while to for coach and general manager Mark Carlson to kind of find the right group. Made a number of trades during the season to improve it, and you know, I think they have improved both collectively and individually. You know, they have some kids that I think are going to be very good college hockey players. And then, you know, we'll see who comes back. That's always kind of a question. But, you know, Cedar Rapids got Minnesota Mr. Hockey for the first time ever. and Mason Kraft. He won the award, and he's kind of joined the team here down the stretch, and has played in the played in game one of the playoffs last night. So I think that's a pretty good start to the group. You know, looking ahead, and hopefully you don't have to look ahead here for a few more days.
Different league, same circumstances, Jeff. The Iowa Heartlanders in the playoffs, and first time, is that right?
Yes, that is correct. Derek Damon has been here since day one. He was assistant coach the first year and for Jerry Fleming and took over for Fleming for season two. This will be his third season as head coach and GM, and he's done a great job of putting together a team that, you know, maybe isn't the most flashy in the league, but he was intent on kind of creating a culture, a good culture of guys that work together and, you know, kind of played a simple game, so to speak, played hard, a good forechecking team. And, you know, this club has bought into his philosophy 100%. And unlike Cedar Rapids, they've won a bunch of games, a close game. They've had phenomenal record in the regular season and one goal games. And you know, now they get a chance to play in the ECHL postseason for the first time in franchise history. Fort Wayne upcoming. It's Friday, Saturday at Indiana in the best of five series, and then back to Coralville. Beginning on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, I believe, would be, if necessary, game five. But, yeah, I was actually down there and watched practice a little bit today, and everybody seems ready to go. And, you know, this is the best time of year for those guys. The long, months-long season is over, and this is what they play for, to have a chance to win a championship.
We've got a bit of a sample size now, Jeff, and I think originally – there was some people thought not to use casino vernacular, but maybe cannibalization when two teams, two franchises, different leagues, of course, but so close together. How have they coexisted?
I think they've kind of claimed their own market, so to speak. I think, you know, Cedar Rapids has kind of relied on Cedar Rapids a lot. And maybe some points north for people to come to games. And Coralville has kind of claimed the Iowa City area, you know, the university, and maybe some points south, you know, to bring people in. You know, Cedar Rapids' attendance has been pretty steady. I just looked at the numbers, and I can't remember off the top of my head. They were kind of right in the middle of the USHL as far as attendance goes, maybe – I want to say 1,900 a game. And the Heartlanders finished last in the ECHL again in attendance. About 1,000 or so less than the next lowest team attendance-wise. So it's still kind of an issue down there. But I think they've got good ownership. They've kind of got a good vision of what they want to do. They're trying to grow the sport, you know, in that, you know, Coralville, Iowa City area, you know, from the bottom kids on up. And, you know, they seem intent on making a go of it there and, you know, success, you know, being, having a good team, I think probably plays a role in making it more popular as well.
Jeff Johnson, the Gazette, joining us here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class at 3:44. We go from hockey to baseball, and we can do that very, very swiftly here on the program. Colonels, a successful first homestand against Beloit, taking four in that six-game series. Off to Peoria for the first of a six-gamer coming up tonight over in Central Illinois, but what do we know about this team so far, other than the fact they got a lot of injuries like everybody else in the Twins?
Yeah, right. Good team. You know, came in with I think 10 prospects ranked in the top 30 prospects in the Twins organization by MLBpipeline.com. So you knew they had some some talent on this team. And, you know, a lot of it is around the infield. You know, guys like Billy Amick and, you know, Kalen Culpepper was first-round pick of the Twins last year. Amick was a high, like a third-rounder, second-rounder, I want to say. And Kyle DeBarge, again, I think he was the sandwich, first-round sandwich guy. Another college, major college infielder. And, you know, so that you kind of knew that that was the strength of the team, the infielders and the offense, and it has been so far. No question. I think all those guys that I mentioned have put up some really good numbers early, as have some others. The pitching has been, you know, kind of hit and miss, honestly, in the very early going. And you hope that you know, once everybody kind of settles into a routine, that'll improve. They do have a kid named Charlie Soto, who's 19 years old. He was, I think, a top 5-round guy a couple of years ago out of high school in Florida, and he was throwing, he hit 100 miles per hour in his first start against Wisconsin, I want to say 5-6 times, and the velocity was down comparatively to like 97 or so in his second start, but he's been really, really good in his first two starts, so he's somebody to keep an eye on. And like you said, injuries, first full week of the season, they have to put four guys on the injured list. Which is kind of unfortunately, like you said again, just if you're a Twins first round pick, you got unfortunately a pretty big percentage of maybe being hurt right now, because it seems like there's a ton of them, a ton of first rounders, both in the major league level and in the minors that are hurt right now.
Or just say the hell with them, go into real estate.
Yeah, that was Kirloff, right?
Yeah.
I had to laugh a little bit. I was talking to Brian Meyer. I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this. The first year manager of the team, he lives down in Fort Myers in the off season, and he said he got a phone call. He answered his phone the other day, and it was Kirloff. Hey, you know, I'm selling real estate now. You know, if anything you might need, you know, don't forget to hesitate, or don't hesitate to get a hold of me. But you know, Meyer knew him from previously, so it was all good. It's just it sucks, Mark. You know, right?
Yeah.
I thought he had a potential to have a tremendous major league career, but he just was always hurt, and the wrist injuries, and the hand injuries. I mean, I think it just sapped the love of the game from him. You know, when you can't perform at the level that you know, you want to.
You know, they say you see something, or chance to see something different at the ballpark every time you go out. And early on here, you've seen, I think it's a Midwest League record, 6 stolen bases without a guy getting a hit, and 6 hit by pitchers in a game. What's going on?
Yeah, how about that? That was Sunday. That tied the Midwest League record, from what I could tell. I mean, it wasn't like, boy, guys were throwing at any Cedar Rapids. They were just the pitch. Every pitcher that threw just was very wild, obviously, and just turned out that way. And then a Marion Boyd from Beloit in one of the first couple games of the series, like you said, stole 6 bases and without getting a hit, which hasn't happened, I think, in the minor leagues since like 05 at least. And that did tie a Midwest League record going back to 1951 for most stolen bases, period, in a game. So
that's 1905 or 2005?
2005.
I think.
But, I mean, that was just Beloit's philosophy in that whole series was steal, steal, steal. And something that I think the Colonels are going to have to improve upon, you know, moving forward. It was, I want to say, I counted up, it was the first 16 or 17 opposing base stealers were successful this season, and until Kadeem Jaw threw guy out the other night. So, like I said, that probably a little bit of improvement needed from both pitchers and catchers in that scenario.
True. Hey, before we let you go, you've seen the Hawkeye baseball team a few times this year. I got a chance to see them on Friday night. Very successful weekend, crowd-wise, against the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Took 2 out of 3. Still in first place in the Big Ten. No, they haven't played the Biggies in the Big Ten. They're only going to get one of them, and that's Oregon in the last series of the year. But it's a nice ball club. There's a lot of interest right now in Iowa baseball, and that's good to see.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Rick Keller's as good as there is. You know, let's just put it out there. If he was coaching a team in the SEC or something, that team would have a legit chance to win a College World Series. I think he's that good of a coach. He's got this team playing very well. The offense has been really good almost all season. They've got a legit ace in Cade Overmuller, who's going to be an MLB draft pick. Yeah, I mean, things are looking really good. The record's flashy. Being in first place is flashy. I don't think the Big Ten's very good, honestly, this season. When you look at the RPI and everything, and like you said, they play Oregon. I think they play UCLA, which has a pretty good team also. But, I mean, yeah, I was just looking at the RPIs this afternoon, and Iowa's in the 90s, I think 92. And that's with that flashy of a record. So, I mean, they're going to have to, maybe even win the Big Ten tournament right now, or you know, certainly beat the good teams that remain on the schedule here to have a chance to make an NCAA regional. But it's been a good season, another good season for Hawkeye baseball.
Yeah, it really has been. And, yeah, I would say probably they got to get to the final. At least it would help to win the regular season, get to the tournament final, and then, you know, play somebody like an Oregon or a USC or somebody like that to get a little cachet in there. It wouldn't hurt.
No, absolutely. And I think Michigan's got a pretty decent ball club that has an RPI, I want to say, in the top 45 or 50. And I think Iowa plays Michigan later on in the season as well. So, the schedule will ramp up here for the Hawkeyes, and you know, they're going to need to take care of business to you know, to kind of raise that RPI to have a legit chance, at large chance, you know, if they don't win the Big Ten tournament and the automatic bid.
True. Yeah, get out and see them. Get out and see the Colonels. Get out and see some hockey. Let's go Blues tonight, man.
Let's go Blues, baby. I'm going to be watching with pins and needles and a Coors Light in hand. So.
Hey, you got a green belt or what?
Yeah, it's better than that other stuff you
had. No, that green belt elite. I actually I had a buddy. I was up in Minnesota last week, and he brought me back what they call grain belt elite beer. You can only get it north of the border.
It's kind of an oxymoron or something.
Yeah, I know, right? It's really good, though. I'm gonna save a couple for you guys to try it.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Keep up the great work, man. Talk later.
All right. Take care. Thank you, guys.
You bet. Jeff Johnson of the Gazette joining us. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap things up for you after this here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class and 1600 ESPN.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh yeah. The key ingredient is something called Testnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text BREAK to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text BREAK to 321321. That's BREAK to 321321.
Back with you. A couple minutes remaining on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to talk some fantasy baseball with you. And so get your fantasy baseball questions. If you have an early fantasy football question, you can get that ready as well. As I'm going to introduce you to a brand new man from rotowire.com. As John, we're going to find out the proper pronunciation of his name tomorrow. John Venezia is going to be joining us to talk baseball. We will have Kevin Payne back in the fall for football, so that he and I can go at it with Buffalo versus Kansas City stuff. But he's going to take the summer off, so we'll have John with us. So get your fantasy baseball questions ready to go for John from rotowire.com coming up tomorrow. And then John Cooper to talk about the NFL draft from Arlad Scouting Service. That will be coming up on Thursday. We're off on Friday due to Cubs baseball. Masters did very well, Mark, with the numbers as we thought it would. Best Masters since 2017, I want to say. 2018? Okay, 2018. That includes some guys win in 2019. But it averaged $12.7 million and almost $20 million were tuned in during the playoff between Justin Rose and Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, the Masters had struggled to get to 10 million viewers in recent years, and up 33% this year. I think the whole deal about McIlroy and DeChambeau maybe having a duel, and that never transpired. But as you mentioned, in the 6 o'clock Central Time hour, nearly 20 million people, and that's really good, because the PGA Tour has not had – they're down a little bit this year.
Down a little bit this year. I think this is going to push it up, though. The Masters always gets good ratings. We know that.
Yeah.
But this was exceptional this year for the Masters, and did very, very well. Just wiped out everything on the weekend, otherwise for sports, which is not a big surprise. Not a big surprise. So no Rory McIlroy this week, though.
No, that's a signature event. He's going to skip it one time. He can skip. Scheffler and some of the other guys are going to be there, but still be a good tournament. But Rory probably sipping a pint somewhere.
Might still be. Yeah, him and Shane Lowry might still be at a pub somewhere around Augusta. Yes, 1288. Hope the Wild and the Blues hold on for the playoffs. Hockey coming right down to it. The NBA getting underway with their play-in tournament tonight. We've got a doubleheader for you tomorrow night, beginning at 6 o'clock in playoff action for you. And looking forward to that. And Gene from Benton, yeah, pretty darn good baseball family with the Obermuellers from over in Benton County. Kate's good pitcher, and he's going to get his name called in the Major League Baseball draft coming up.
Dad was pretty good, too.
Dad, Wes, wasn't too bad. Not too bad. No, this one's got nothing on the Waste Management Open. 85-82, thanks. All right, Mark, talk tomorrow.
Sounds great. Talk then.
All right. Spencer on Sports coming your way next right here on 1600 ESPN Eastern Iowa's home for sports. We're back with you with another edition of the Gym Class coming up tomorrow at 3. Have a great night, everybody.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling.